News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WPT proudly presents America's Coolest Conservative. Well, proudly could be stretching it a bit. Welcome to the TJ Ritchie Show.
All right, here we go, ladies and gentlemen. Wired up and fired up. Your green-eyed patriot is here. Taking the reins. Taking charge. Being your ever-loving leader. Sipping coffee at night. That's how much I'm struggling. Ladies and gentlemen, that's how much I'm struggling. I'm drinking coffee at night. I'm like my mom. You know, a certain age of Southern peoples will drink coffee 24 hours a day. Did you know that, Lonnie Ray?
Oh, yes, sir. I do it myself.
You do?
Yes, sir.
But, I mean, are you doing it to keep you up for work? Or are you doing it just because you're sitting around the house and it's your favorite beverage? Or Bev, as the kids say.
Kind of both.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Because my mom will keep coffee made all the time. It's like midnight. Y'all want a cup of coffee? No, thanks. No, thanks, Mama. So, look, we got a lot of serious stuff to cover tonight because I know Breaking Brett Jensen did a great job with the situation with the young lady being stabbed on the light rail and you know, Charlotte's wonderful mayor. But I'm going to add a little to that and my own my opinions and spin to it. Hopefully a little bit different way of looking at it, because my brain doesn't work the same way an intellectual's brain, such as Brett Jensen's works. Could be just something for you to make fun of. I don't know. But there is something else that's serious going on, and it has a lot in common with this Charlotte Mayor Vile and Disgusting Lyles is her new name. Vile and Disgusting. But there are a lot of things that that all of these mayors of these Marxist-run cities have in common. And yeah, that kills me to have to say and put Charlotte in the category with Marxist-run cities in U.S. America. But I'm telling you, when you have unchecked Democrat so-called leaders running the show of anything, it doesn't matter whether it's a major city, whether it's a small town, or whether it's a supper club, they're going to screw it up. Because if you are a professional Democrat, then you are a dishonest, shady person and probably a narcissist. So you're in it for your own gain. You don't care about the people's. That's the way I look at it anyway. So that Brandon Johnson, let's call him the flea market version of Malcolm X, because that's what he tries to be. He tries to be Malcolm X, but he's actually no better than the flea market version. Not even an outlet mall version. Not a Temu version. Not a Dollar General version. I'm talking about flea market version of Malcolm X. And we had the clip last night where he's talking about Trump coming in and trying to clear up the crime in Chicago the way he's done with D.C. and talking all tough. And what he was saying yesterday was that we just need more resources. We need more resources. And what that means is money. Pour more tax money into us. Give it to us. Because we've done such a great job as Democrats handling the money that we have been given that has been confiscated from people who earned it and given to us, these shady Marxist Democrats. Give us more. It's your fault, Trump. It's your fault that you haven't given us more of the money that we didn't earn, that you've had to confiscate from people who did earn it. It's your fault that the crime's out of control. It's everybody's fault but mine. It's everybody's fault because there's not enough money coming in here. So I'm going to give credit where credit is due. Joe Scarborough on whatever the network's called now had Mayor Johnson on his show this morning with his, I don't know if they're married or just engaged or what. I know either he left his wife or they both left their spouses for each other after doing the show together, Minka Brzezinski. So they were interviewing Brandon Johnson, and credit where credit's due, Joe Scarborough actually, I guess, flashed back to the days when he was a respectable Republican. And all he's trying to do is get Brandon Johnson to say, yes, if you give me all of those things that I've asked for, it would benefit the city to have more police officers. But he just can't do it. He cannot say, yes, it would be good to have more police officers, because police are the enemy to a Marxist. Okay? So this is very frustrating. Listen.
You also like to get federal funding to help put 5,000 more cops on the street in Chicago. Would that help drive down crime?
Well, look, policing by itself is not the full strategy.
No, I understand what that. You've talked mm-hmm. about the other things you want, and I yep. said those are good and important yep. programs, but I'm asking also, would 5,000 more police officers on the street in Chicago be helpful to go along with all of those social programs that a lot of cities are engaging in and having success with?
Well, look, here's the best way I can put it, Joe, is that in the 90s when I was in high school, we had 3,000 more police officers and we had 900 people being murdered every single year in Chicago. It's just not policing alone. Of course, we want more detectives.
Of course, I know it's not policing alone, but I know it's not policing alone. You've told me everything else you want. I'm curious, and this does come down to an ideological difference between people. Do you
pause it a second? Thank you. What you need to know, because you can't see it, is that Minka Brzezinski is kind of hitting him at the desk, like, okay, it's enough, it's enough. You know, like a wife would. That's enough, that's enough. It's so stupid. All right, continue, please.
Believe that the streets of Chicago would be safer if there were more uniformed police officers on the streets of Chicago?
I believe the city of Chicago and cities across America would be safer if we actually had, you know, affordable housing. Look, okay, I'm not saying that
that's not the question I asked. My question is, and I just need a yes mm-hmm. or a no, do you believe the streets of Chicago would be safer if you got all of those other extraordinary programs put back into place, which do have a history of being successful, if that's complemented by having 5,000 more cops on the streets of Chicago?
I don't believe that we should narrow it down to just police officers, Joe, is what I'm saying. That is an antiquated approach. We've invested in detectives.
Mr. Mayor, are you hearing what I'm saying? I'm agreeing with you that all of these other social programs are extraordinarily important. Mm-hmm. I just need a yes or a no, then this will be the last time I ask.
All right, you get the picture. I let it go for that long. I know it was nerve-wracking, but I wanted you to hear that Joe Scarborough was actually going the distance with this clown, with this commie clown. And he just could not bring himself to say, yes, even if you give me all of these extravagant programs that cost so many billions of dollars, you give me all of these things, yes, 5,000 more cops would make it safer. You can't say that if you are a good Marxist in standing, and that is what Brandon Johnson is. He is low IQ, which is dangerous, because he was a principal in the school system before he became a politician. And you can just see he just blanks over. He's just like, So he's a Marxist clown. Now, there are other things that you should know about this kind of governing and where we are and how dangerous it is. And you should also know that his peoples are not behind him. And when I say his peoples, I'm talking about the citizens of Chicago, the ones he claims to champion. That's right. So we'll hear from them and then get more in depth on how this reflects on the rest of the country and how we should all be freaked out by it. Coming up next.
More of the TJ Ritchie Show is coming up.
Hear the TJ Ritchie Show every weeknight at 7 Eastern. Stream it live at tjritchie.com or listen later as a podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or my media center at tjritchie.com. You'll be so glad you did, hopefully. That's tjritchie.com.
Radio, podcasts, and cool social media content. Get all the TJ you can handle at WBT.com/TJ. Now, back to the TJ Ritchie Show on News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WBT.
Okay, so we've been shot out of a cannon tonight. Just smoking. All right, so we're talking about the flea market version of Malcolm X. The flea market Malcolm X, named Brandon Johnson, mayor of Chicago, Illinois. Now, it's obvious that he's a lowlife and he's low IQ, not much to look at. He could be, though. He could be a handsome man if he could wash some of that commucrat off of him. Ugh. So, none of the crime problem in Chicago, with it being one of the most dangerous places in the world, that's not the fault of Democrats. Democrats who, well, I don't know. I'm not sure about these facts, but I wonder when the last time Republicans were in charge of the city government in Chicago. I could juggle it and come up with a solid date, but I think the answer is never. Never, ever. Ever, ever. So the crime problem, obviously, is the fault of the federal government. So when Trump mentioned something about going into Chicago and cleaning it up, which, I mean, he doesn't have the same jurisdiction over Chicago that he has over D.C. I don't mean to be flexing my law degree here, but he doesn't. But it's not the Democrats' fault. They didn't cause this problem. They need more money. And crime's down, in case you didn't know. In all of these cities, crime is down. Statistics show it trending down. Huh. Well, it helps if you've been fudging the numbers and making it look like it's down, or if you're changing the definition of what a certain crime is, as opposed to, you know, where if it's a misdemeanor, you change it to something lesser. You know, you change an assault without a weapon to a parking ticket. Then violent crime is down. Don't believe any of that. Everybody knows that Chicago is a dangerous place. It is basically a war zone on Lake Michigan. Now, there are two residents that are featured in this clip. One is a Womane and the other is a Maine. So listen to what they say about safety in Chicago as Chicago residents. Listen.
My first reaction was that this is a good thing. I think that the governor as well as the mayor should be on board with it just so we can get a bit more of security in Chicago the way that we need.
The crime has dropped since 2024. Do you feel like the city feels safer?
No, not at all. No, especially with the police being defunded.
Yeah, so defund the police. They know. They know you defund the police, you get rid of police officers, that it's causing chaos and mayhem. And here is the gentleman saying about the same thing.
Our children can't walk around the community without fear of being hurt or kidnapped or having a drive-by. So it's what these numbers that they're expressing, we don't feel it in our quality of life.
No, you don't. Because they're probably lying. I mean, why would they not lie about crime statistics going down when they lie about everything else? They lie about not being communists. That's number one. They lie about wanting the best for the people. You can't be a successful professional Democrat without living and sitting upon a throne of lies. You just can't do it. It's impossible. There is no honest Democrat politician. You know how I know that? Because if they were honest, they wouldn't be Democrats. Because the Democrat Party is nothing but a bunch of shady, shysty people trying to destroy everything that is good about this country. That's how I know. And of course, you've got the Honorable, His Holiness, Reverend Al Sharpton. And what does he make of all this? Mr. For the downtrodden. For the people of color. Used to be black people. Now, he's for black and brown people. What does he spew from his head that's too big for his body now? I swear, if anybody's ever seen Family Guy, Al Sharpton is built like Quagmire on Family Guy. If you don't watch that show, Google it. Quagmire from Family Guy, and tell me that doesn't look like Al Sharpton. But I digress. What Al Sharpton takes from it and what he preaches, because he did a sermon, he said. Yeah, he preached at a historically black college or university over the weekend. He says that President Trump, being the white supremacist that he is, and along with all of his staff, they're just picking on all these cities that have black mayors. That's the only reason. Because the statistics show that every one of these cities, their crime's going down. Trump's only picking on them because he's a white supremacist and he wants to be a dictator, and he's starting by harassing the black mayors. Thank you, Rem Al, for once again proving just how brilliant you are. Now, do I think Rev Al is dumb enough to believe that? What he spews? No. I think Reverend Al has, let's say, he's jerked around black people his entire career, and he has become a very, very wealthy piece of crap. Because I don't know that I could call him just Al Sharpton the man, because he's a piece of crap. That's how he's made his career, ladies and gentlemen, pretending to defend those who don't have a voice in the black community. Meanwhile, he's pumping them up and saying, I got you, I got you, I got your back. And while he's at their back, he's stabbing them in it. Go out there, do this for me, do this for me. Vote this way, vote that way, vote that way. It's going to help me. And he doesn't really want anything for anybody but himself. He wants the riches, and he's got them. He has the riches. I mean, Think about all that money he's saving on food now. Did he have gastric bypass? Because he lost all that weight before there was Ozempic and stuff. He may have had a gastric bypass, which, I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. That's what you're doing. You do it. But most people don't look as strange. Maybe if he got a different haircut or something. But why am I trying to get Al Sharpton to look better? I don't care. You know what he looks like to me? The devil. That's what he looks like. The devil. So, that's what's going on in Chicago. And it also proves that the Democrats are just grasping at whatever they can get a hold of. Love to see it. Love to see it. Okay. We got more coming up. Hang on. We'll be back with the really hard hitting stuff, which I don't know what it is, but we'll figure it out. Hang on.
The TJ Ritchie Show.
Hear the TJ Ritchie Show every weeknight at 7 Eastern. Stream it live at tjritchie.com or listen later as a podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcast, or my media center at tjritchie.com. You'll be so glad you did, hopefully. That's tjritchie.com.
Identifying liberalism and mocking it relentlessly. This is the TJ Ritchie Show on News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WBT.
That number to get up in here is 704-570-1110. Call or text. The WBT text line is driven by Liberty Buick GMC. Uh-oh. We got a meanie out there. A fella named Kevin. He says, why do conservatives resort to name-calling like they are in sixth grade? I mean, calling the mayor vile and disgusting sounds like a third grader. Is this something that Trump started, or is this even a bigger question for even bigger question mark? I kind of want to know. Does he have me confused with Mark Levin? Oh, is a bigger question mark? Oh, okay. Even bigger, and then you must be talk to text, right? So, okay. Sounds like a third grader. Nuh-uh. You do. You sound like a third. You sound like a first grader. So there. Kevin. Man. Look at that. Gotta love it. Gotta love it. Kevin, you may be interested in this. Hope you're still listening. There is an organization called Mayday Strong at maydaystrong.org. They're having a Labor Day Workers Over Billionaires March. That sounds right up your alley. Labor and community are planning more than a barbecue on Labor Day because we have to stop the billionaire takeover. Oh, we've never heard that plan before. Oh, my goodness. This is so fresh and new. Oh, my God. Where did you come up with this? You guys are so clever. You guys are so innovative. Billionaires are stealing from working families, destroying our democracy, but we don't live in a democracy. We live in a representative republic. But you see, the communist would like to have a full democracy over what we have as a representative republic. You know why? Because mob rule is a democracy. For example, if I all of a sudden I wanted to get at Isaac and I wanted Isaac to be executed and I ran out and started telling everybody I saw Isaac kill somebody in cold blood and then bury them. Actually, I saw him. He killed a young woman and threw her into the lake. And then, as charming and as talented of an orator as I am, I got out and I gathered everybody around, and there are hundreds of people, and I stepped up on a stump and I started pleading the case that he should be put to death. And then I said, "Who's with me?" And because I am so charismatic, that everybody in that crowd said, "Yeah, kill him, kill him." That's a democracy. But not in our country. We don't have that. We have a constitution. We have individual rights. Okay, so back to this important statement. Billionaires are stealing from working families, destroying our democracy, and building private armies to attack our towns and cities. Private armies. We're building them. What I want to know is how they know this at the May Day Strong group. How do they know about our secret armies that we're building? Just like any bad boss, they say, the way we stop the takeover is with, here's the word, collective action. Collective. The collective. Again, that's the democracy. That's the mob rule. It's no good. Mob rule is no good. We are May Day Strong, working people. And I'm sure you all have really good average jobs producing and contributing to the betterment of our society. I'm sure you're all very, very conscientious employees wherever you work. Working people rising up to stop the billionaire takeover, not just through the ballot box or the courts, but through building a bigger and stronger movement. On September 1st, we will continue the movement we launched on May 1st. Thousands of communities across the country are taking a stand on Labor Day. Join us. Okay, and then there's a place here where you can search events. I'm sure they'll be going on in Charlotte. I'm sure there'll be somebody in Charlotte participating. But I'm so glad, though, even though I disagree with these people, I'm so glad that they've come up with new material. And they're not just using, you know, these communist tactics, talking points to create class warfare and class envy, and surely they won't work up the mob into a violent demonstration. I have faith that they will not do that. And I'm looking at the picture that they show here on their website of, I guess this is from their May Day thing, and May Day is, yeah, you're not supposed to celebrate May Day. That's not for us in a free society. But yeah, I mean, they look like, just your average run of the mill everyday Americans. Yeah. They don't look at all like hysterical, burnt out Marxist foot soldiers. Whoa. I think they mean business. Workers over billionaires. You know, it used to be millionaires. But, you know, I think probably the biggest leader of this movement is Bernie Sanders. And he used to always talk about the millionaires, his millionaire buddies, the millionaire buddies. Well, then somebody said, you know what, Bern? You're a millionaire. You got multiple residences. You have a palatial estate on the lake. You've had book deals, never sold many books, but you had book deals. So you have been taking money from your government position your entire adult life. So what about that? So now when you hear Bernie talk about it, it's billionaires, his billionaire buddies, the billionaire buddies. Because they're such disgusting people. No scruples at all. So, MaydayStrong.org is the website. I don't know whether there's a place where you can comment on there or not, but you can. You can host an event if you want to do so. That would be fun. I bet these people are just a blast at parties, aren't they? Oh. So, there is that. I would go to this deal, but they're probably going to want to celebrate after. And I'm not drinking right now because I'm on a diet and I can't be eating communist nachos or any of that kind of stuff. Or I'd be right there with them. I sure would. You betcha. You betcha. Okay. Oh, we're late for this break. So we'll get into it and come back with more fabulous, fabulous material next.
It's TJ Ritchie. Late, live, and local. It's the TJ Ritchie Show on News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WPT.
Hey, ladies and gentlemen, I'm having a good time with you. This is probably the best date I've been on in years. Y'all are fun. I like a group date. 11 peoples and me. And 11 people and I are on a date. Loving it. Loving it. You're so fun. Ladies, you look so thin and cute tonight. Love it. Gotta love it. Now, there's something that I saw today that has caused me to change my mind on something. Because I never stopped to consider the harm that has been done to this person. I honestly jumped on the bandwagon of who cares what happens to this hardened criminal, and you know, it's not right. It's not right. Till I heard the whole story today from this gentleman's attorney. I'm talking about, of course, America's darling, Abrego Garcia. You know, Kilmar Abrego Garcia. Abrego Garcia. Can you roll your tongue, Isaac? Can you roll your R's like that?
No.
You can't do it?
I was about to try, but no.
It's a genetic thing. But it seems like everybody who speaks Spanish has the gene. How about that? I love that. I love the rolling of the R's. T.J. Ritchie. You see? See how sexy that sounds? Ritchie.
It does sound better.
Oh, tell me. So, Kilmar Abrego Garcia. I never realized what all he had been put through. Now, this is a piece from John Nolte on the Breitbart. It says, the attorney for credibly accused wife beater, gangbanger, human trafficker, child porn solicitor, and illegal alien, Kilmar Abrego Garcia, says that her client will require, quote unquote, many years of, quote unquote, therapy to, quote, move past what he's suffered, end of quote. She said, quote, I think his family has suffered immeasurably, and I think it will take many years, including therapy, for him to move past what he's suffered. That's what his attorney, one Miss Rita Gandhi, told the Communist News Network. She continued, you know, he released his statement about what he went through in our filings, and I think they speak for itself. Hello. All right, I'm going to read that exactly the way it shows up here. You know, he released his statement about what he went through our filings. Okay, so what he went through, comma, through our filings. That's how he made his statement. And I think they speak for itself. Now, that's completely wrong. And again, I say, hello. He suffered unimaginable hardships, physical harm, while there in an El Salvadoran prison. Now, that's another little something you can pick up. I have a really good friend whose family is from El Salvador, and that is the way you say it. You don't say that Salvadorian. You say Salvadoran. Now, if you say that someone is Salvadoran, you don't put the L in front of it. You say, like, my friend Alexis, her heritage is El Salvadoran. You don't say that. You just say she's Salvadoran. All right? Just in case you ever get sent to the prison over there. In case you get sent to El Salvadoran penitentiary. So, you know, this is just that innocent Maryland man that was scooped up on his way to T-ball practice. You know, maybe, maybe not a member of MS-13. Maybe, maybe not a human trafficker. Maybe, maybe not participating in a murder and soliciting child porn. All of that, maybe or maybe not. But you think about how much therapy he's going to have to go through. Years, his attorney says, years. Bless his heart. So he can't be sent to where he's from, because he says he's not safe there. Because he may or may not have had something to do with a rival gang member's mother's death. Okay? So now they say, okay, well, we're going to send you to Uganda. And you know what he said? I can't go to Uganda. I don't speak the language. You don't mind being here? You don't speak the damn language? You've been here 14 years. You can't speak the language. Clown. So it's safe for him in Uganda. We'd be doing him a favor sending him to Uganda. Maybe he would meet this wrestler that was a big-time wrestler when I was a little kid. Name was Kamala, the Ugandan giant. Maybe he retired back home in Uganda. Go hang out with him. He's a good fella. Actually, he wasn't from Uganda. He was from Mississippi. They just said he was from, they were culturally appropriating back then. Listen, nobody cares what happens with this guy. Everybody who is a normal thinking person is sick of hearing about this guy. These judges keep jumping in and blocking his deportation and all of that stuff. They're, it's just amazing how the left, how they pick and choose people to champion. You ever notice that? They never champion and put it all on the line for the good guys. You know why? Because most of the time, good guys don't need to turn over their freedom to a bunch of Democrats. Good guys can usually, if you leave them alone, make a decent way for themselves in this free country. Democrats don't need people who can do it on their own. They need people like Garcia. They need to champion him. It's just so obvious, and I really have a lot of fun with the leftists, the libs that that text in here and insult me and all of that stuff and you know, want to argue with me and act like I'm the stupid one and all that. I have fun with all that, but I don't understand at this point how you can't see how the entire professional Democrat Party has been exposed for being rotten, shady. Just sit down, and you don't even have to watch, you know, a Fox News type channel or Newsmax or anything. Turn it on whatever you want to turn it on, and then just sit there and watch who the Democrat politicians come on and defend. I just don't get it. Because I can tell, you know, some of the insults that come in here from the leftists, they're kind of clever. I give them credit for that. You know, from a comedic standpoint, I'm all about the comedy. I give you credit if you got something clever to say. So they're not complete idiots. They have the ability to understand. Because being clever in a comedic way, being able to turn a phrase, that's a sign of intelligence. So what's the blockage? That's what I want to know. What's blocking them from seeing the truth? Huh. I may get to the bottom of that mystery someday. All right. TJ on the News is coming up next. Don't miss that. Hang on.
More of the TJ Ritchie Show is coming up on News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WBT. From the Ty Boyd Studio at WBT.
Hear the TJ Ritchie Show every weeknight at 7 Eastern. Stream it live at tjritchie.com or listen later as a podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or my media center at tjritchie.com. You'll be so glad you did, hopefully. That's tjritchie.com.
Live from the big city of Charlotte, North Carolina, it's TJ on the News.
News Talk 1110, 99.3 WBT. Here we go with the wacky, wacky world of the news. Yeah, Isaac is here. Lonnie Ray is here. Y'all here, both of you? Present? Mm-hmm. Present? Okay, here we go. Lead story. An Orange County sheriff's deputy is on paid leave after showing up at a home invasion call this weekend. The incident happened Saturday afternoon, and it was around 3. Yeah. This says 3 p.m., but if you say afternoon, there's no need to say p.m. It's redundant. God, these people. Are they even professional writers anymore? I do not get it. Go to school. Sheriff's office released details of the incident on News 6 Monday. Deputies were sent to the home after a report of 4 suspects trying to break in. The man living at the home said he had fired his gun at the suspects who fled the area. Now, here's the problem. When deputies arrived, the sheriff's office said the victim was unlocking his door for them to come in when one of the deputies accidentally discharged his firearm into the victim. Wow. Mm. He's okay. No life-threatening injuries and all. But the neighbors came out. You know, when you see a TV crew, you're going to come out in the neighborhood. Mm. And some people just have to be on TV. Well, that seems like the situation for one Terry Frazier. Terry Frazier said, "It seems like they shoot first and ask questions later. Kind of makes people not want to call the police if something's going on, because you may not know what will happen to you." Like, this happens all the time. You know, like it's just a daily occurrence in the neighborhood. The sheriff's office confirmed the victim, identified by neighbors as Marcus, was taken to a hospital with non-life-threatening injuries and later released Saturday night. Terry is not finished talking to the news, says, it's got me where if something was going on, I'm like, should I call the cops or should I not? You know, because I may wind up getting hurt or shot. Okay, well, then don't, Terry. If something's going on with you, don't call the cops. If you're worried that you're going to get shot because of this one accident, then don't put yourself through that. Just let the people take what they want to take, possibly even taking your life. Don't call the cops if you think you're going to be harmed by it. Actually, Terry, get back in the house. Please, just get back in the house. You know his wife is out there yelling, "Get Terry, get in the house."
Yeah.
Unless, well, I don't know, Terry spelled with an I-E-R-R-I-E. So is that a female spelling or does it not matter?
Yeah, I don't know. I guess a little bit more of a female spelling.
Yeah, it'd be even richer if it is. Next story. Sad girl. Talking about the sad girl. All right, this is my kind of woman. 55-year-old woman is wanted by authorities for violating her probation after she attacked a truck she believed to be her ex-boyfriend's. Drim Benjamin, I never heard of that name, was arrested for showing up at a Lee County home to damage a truck she believed belonged to an unfaithful ex-boyfriend. She attacked the truck with a crowbar. Turns out, where is this going? Everybody can see it. It was the wrong truck. And the actual owner was left with thousands of dollars in damages. She was taken to jail for a night and pleaded guilty. She was then placed on 60 months probation. She violated her probation terms, and now there's a new warrant for her arrest. She has three prior arrests on her record for drugs and other probation violations. Now they have a description of her going around Bonita Springs, Florida. Now, doesn't Bonita mean beautiful in Spanish? I think that's what it means. So I saw her mugshot. If that's the case, she needs to get out of Bonita Springs because she is not Bonita. But it doesn't matter whether he was unfaithful or not. You cannot destroy somebody's property just because they cheated on you.
Yeah.
You know where she got to go? Penitentiary. That's where she needs to go.
Oh, yeah.
Penitentiary. He could be the worst boyfriend. He could have cheated on you every day. And you still don't have a right to destroy his property. Are you pressing charges,
Lonnie? Sure. Oh, for sure. For sure.
I said it before. If my wife keyed my truck because she was mad at me, you know where she's going?
Jail.
Penitentiary.
I love her to death.
She's going to penitentiary.
Gotta go.
Mm-hmm. Next story. I want to show her. You know, it's annoying when people allow their dogs to poop in their neighbor's lawns, on their neighbor's lawns, actually in the neighbor's yard. I'm Southern, so I'll say it that way. And it's even more irritating when they don't clean up after the dog. So it probably isn't worth an attempted murder charge, though. A woman in Nashville named Jennifer Evans was arrested last week after she pulled a gun on a man who allowed his dog to poop on her grass. And when he didn't clean it up, she pointed it at him. Hey, clean that up. According to reports, it was a 60-year-old man with disabilities and a cane. Okay, while I'm sympathetic to that, if you are taking on the responsibility of a dog, then you should be able to clean it up. It's not up to anybody else to clean up your dog's mess out of their yard just because you're disabled.
You pull the gun on Papa. Like, why?
Yeah, I don't know why she pulled a gun, but I'm just saying that he shouldn't get a pass and just be letting his dog poop everywhere because he's got a disability.
Oh, true. Yeah.
And it was a Chihuahua named Mrs. Flirt.
I'm sure that poop was worth pulling a gun on somebody. A tiny Chihuahua.
Yeah. And then they put, for what it's worth, the man may also be homeless. Well, that means he does not need a dog. He shouldn't have a dog. If you're disabled and you're homeless and you can't fend for yourself, then you don't need to take on the responsibility of another life. even if it is a Chihuahua.
Agree.
And I'm a dog lover. Y'all know that. Y'all know I'm a dog lover. I really am. So it's unclear if this had been an ongoing issue or if it was just a one-time reaction. Police say that she admitted to pointing the gun at the man, and when the officers tried to take her into custody, she became combative and assaulted three of the officers as she was being detained. Okay.
That always helps. Yeah.
Looks like it ended as it should have ended, with her going to jail. And finally, I've been really trying, baby. This is a delicate subject, so I'm going to try to make sure that I maybe substitute words that we can stay away from any graphic terminology. A Florida man is behind bars for allegedly headbutting his girlfriend after she became upset when he was watching adult material. Okay, here's the thing. He wasn't just watching it. He was watching it while they were engaged in adult material themselves. According to court records, Donald Naples, 44, and the victim were recently, quote, engaged in consensual, well, you know the rest. And then he began engaging in some adult entertainment. Didn't sit well with the 50-year-old victim. The woman, quote, became upset by the defendant's actions and told him to stop. She also directed him to go ahead. He didn't need her for the rest of it, if you know what I'm saying. And during that argument is when he allegedly headbutted her in the nose, causing significant bleeding. The woman was transported to the hospital, treated for her injuries. A couple investigators reported have been in a romantic relationship for approximately 6 months. And, you know, he goes to jail, and he also has a record of methamphetamine possession, pled that down to a paraphernalia charge, convictions for robbery, marijuana possession, resisting, and violating probation on his rap sheet. So she had no way of knowing, you know, that he was a bad guy. But headbutting a woman in the nose because y'all get in an argument, I hope they serve justice on him in the jail for that. And that's it for TJ on the News.
The TJ Ritchie Show. He's radio royalty in the Carolinas and Queen Charlotte's sweetest prince. It's TJ Ritchie on News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WBT.
Thank you so much for giving me an opportunity listening to the show. I appreciate it a lot. So, Charlotte has made national news, not for a good reason, but Charlotte has made national news because it is one of those cities now. You know, I get a lot of flack coming up in here the very first night, calling Charlotte the big dangerous city. Always warning people from my little suburb as they're coming into Charlotte to have a good time on the weekend nights. Be careful. Be careful. Oh, you're scared of everything. And I'm not scared of everything. I'm just a realist. Not only am I, you know, up to date on the news and events and all of that stuff, but I also watch a lot of crime documentaries, and I know all you ladies watch crime documentaries, but I have been in this city for 26 years or so, and I remember when the city, you could go uptown, and it was a miracle how safe you would feel in a city the size of Charlotte. Of course, then we had a Republican mayor, and I think there were a few Republicans, at least on the city council. And people cared about law enforcement in this town. Now, I was coming, you know, this is the biggest city I've ever lived in, and coming from Birmingham, I was living in Birmingham, moved to Charlotte. Obviously, you know, Birmingham, more dangerous than Charlotte at the time, but now it's just gotten, out of control. And had a man on the light rail allegedly stab and kill a woman who was here, young woman from Ukraine. She had come as a refugee seeking safety from the war zone. Her name is Irina Zarutska. And our mayor's name is Vile Lies. Actually, it's Vile Lies. And as soon as I said at the top of the show that I would be talking about this story, the libs come out and they're automatically, oh, you're a racist. You're going to make this a race issue. I wonder if you'd be talking about this if it were the other way around, if the victim were black and the assailant, alleged assailant, was white. Yeah, I would. But you see, that's the way the left looks at everything. They look at it through the prism of race, especially the white liberals. The white liberals are always worried that somebody is going to threaten their moral authority. But it doesn't matter. In some of this doesn't matter what race the mayor is. It's just, it tells a lot about her as a person, her as a leader, and her as a member of this terrible Democrat Party. Statement reads, first and foremost, my thoughts and prayers go out to the young woman's family and friends. That's it. That's the mention of the woman. Get it out of the way. Get the victim out of the way. Now we focus on who the real victim is. This is a tragic situation that sheds light on problems with the society safety nets related to mental health care and the systems that should be in place. As we come to understand what happened and why, we must look at the entire situation. While I do not know the specifics of the man's medical record, what I have come to understand is that he has long struggled with mental health and appears to have suffered a crisis. This was the unfortunate and tragic outcome. While there are questions about the safety and security of our transit system and our city, I do know there have been significant and sustained efforts to address safety and security within our transit system and across our city. Charlotte is by far and large a safe city. Cats, by and large, is a safe transit system. If you're listening to the podcast of this show and you're not from Charlotte, CATS is the acronym for the public transportation in Charlotte. However, tragic incidents like these should force us to look at what we're doing across our community to address root causes. We will never arrest our way out, I should say, out of issues such as homelessness and mental health. That is the that is one of the buzz phrases that the American Marxists, communocrats that find themselves being responsible for cities that are out of control with crime. That Brandon Johnson of Chicago said that the other night. He's been saying it. We will never arrest our way out of issues such as homelessness and mental health. I'm committed to doing the work with Mecklenburg County community leaders, healthcare service providers, and the private sector to ensure that Charlotte continues to be one of the best cities in the world with the highest quality of life for everyone. I want to be clear that I am not villainizing those who struggle with their mental health or those who are unhoused. Unhoused. Mental health disease is just that, a disease like any other that needs to be treated with the same compassion, diligence, and commitment as cancer or heart disease. Our community must work to address the underlying issue and access to mental health care. Also, those who are unhoused. Now, why is she saying unhoused down here and up above? She said we can't arrest our way out of homelessness. Why didn't she say unhousedlessness, unhousedness? I mean, if you're going to use these woke phrases to make and words to make it sound like it's better than it is, commit to it, Mayor Lyles, or whoever wrote this for you, whomever wrote it. And those who are unhoused are more frequently the victim of crimes and not the perpetrators. Oh, too many people who are on the street need a safe place to sleep and wraparound services to lift them up. We as a community must do better for those members of our community who need help and have no place to go. Okay, so man allegedly stabs a woman, innocent woman, on a train, a public transportation train. The mayor says he's the victim. Yeah, that's the way that works. Now, I have to take a break. So we got the statement out of the way. And then I'm going to dissect it for you. Not that you have to take what, you know, what I'm going to say, like, okay, I'm going to give it to you. You got to take it. Not that, but I'm just going to give my thoughts on it. And, I don't know if I'm going to say something that nobody else has said today, but probably we'll find out next.
It's TJ Ritchie.
Hear the TJ Ritchie Show every weeknight at 7 Eastern. Stream it live at tjritchie.com or listen later as a podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcast, or my media center at tjritchie.com. You'll be so glad you did, hopefully. That's tjritchie.com.
He's America's coolest conservative. Welcome to the TJ Ritchie Show on News Talk 1110 at 99.3 WPT.
Okay. Hang on a minute. Hang on just a second. I gotta hear this. Hold on. Yeah, that's it. That's it. All right, so we're talking about this situation where an unhoused Charlotte man allegedly stabbed a migrant from Ukraine who escaped Ukraine in the war to come here to be safe, which is, you know what, that's what refugees do. Okay. Mayor of Charlotte, Vi Lyles, aka Vile Lyles, put out a statement. And Isaac just did some good work here. So, Isaac, what are the statistics of that statement from Mayor Lyles?
The statement is 359 words. 16 of them were in regards to the young woman, and 343 of them were about the man.
Yep. Just the first and foremost, well wishes or whatever she said to the victim's family. Now, here is, you know, one of the reasons why you stay focused on the alleged assailant being the victim. It's because you're trying to divert responsibility from yourself and your failings to just the system being messed up. Not my fault. You know whose fault it is? The system. I couldn't have done anything as the leader of this city to prevent something like this. This man is deranged. He's mentally ill. It's not my fault. But how safe do you feel in a city the size of Charlotte when this is the kind of attitude the mayor has, and when the chief of police is famous now nationwide because of a dispute that he had with the city councilman and then threatened to sue for defamation and then gets a big payout to keep him from suing. Now, does that sound like a police department, somebody that's head of the police department and of the city that is really focused on the job at hand? No, it doesn't. But does it go deeper than that? Does Mayor Lyles fall into the category of wanting chaos for the city like all of the other commucrat mayors that we talk about and focus on this show, and as well as the, you know, the party bosses of the Democrats? Is that what it is? I think it's both. And it also throws the responsibility to somebody else to say, we need this, just like the mayor of Chicago, to clean up the crime. We need more resources from the federal government. We need more taxpayer money. And you see, they've taken the Republican / conservative way of thinking about these things and saying, for years, we would say, it's not going to, like with education, throwing more money at it is not going to fix it. So now they say, we can't arrest our way out of homelessness and mental health issues. So in her statement, the part that sticks out to me is, she said, I am committed to doing the hard work with Mecklenburg County community leaders, healthcare service providers, and the private sector to ensure that Charlotte continues to be one of the best cities in the world with the highest quality of life for everyone. Okay, you can live up to that commitment that you say you have. You can do that as soon as you wake up in the morning, Mayor Lyles. And what you can do is start campaigning for Republicans to take your job and every spot on the city council. That's how you do it. If you want to fix the problems that have brought Charlotte to its knees, which Charlotte used to be, not very long ago, held up as an example in the country, the way a big city can run and still be safe and still be financially stable and the whole thing. It used to be that way. I'm not an old man, and I remember when it was that way. So start the new movement tomorrow. Sleep on it tonight. Wake up enthusiastic and ready to campaign for Republicans to take over leadership of this city. And you will witness a miracle. Republicans who do what Republicans do, which is put emphasis on law enforcement. Stop playing. Don't mess around with it. Do it expeditiously. If you don't do that, that means that you really didn't mean that you'll do what you are committed to do with the community leaders, healthcare service providers, and private sector to ensure that Charlotte continues to be one of the best cities in the world. I would say right here in this moment, August 26th, 2025 of our Lord, that there is not a single city in America that is providing the highest quality of life possible for everyone in that city that is run by Democrats. Every major city run by Democrats is in the gutter. And that's just the way it is. And so, to answer all of you not nearly as smart as you think you are, leftists jumping all over me from the get-go, saying that I'm going to make a race issue out of it because the alleged assailant is black and the victim is white, then that shows how much you know. It's not a race issue as much as it is a Democrat issue. Democrats are not good at being in charge of things that are supposed to be good and free. Liberated. And I'm going to tell you something else. I don't care if this guy does have mental health issues, and if he can't help having mental health issues, he needs to be off the street. Just because somebody has mental health issues doesn't mean that they should just be allowed to roam all over the place causing havoc, chaos, wherever they go, doing whatever to innocent people. Lock them away. Why should an innocent society have to live in fear of somebody attacking them, killing them, harassing them, just because that person has a mental illness, just because they're crazy? Why? Your job is to protect the innocent. Not go out there and make excuses as to why this isn't your fault. What a leader you are. Please. And look, I know I'm new to this news talk format and all that, but I'm not new to being a conservative and analyzing the political landscape. And I'm going to tell you right now, it's a Democrat issue. It's always a Democrat issue. Every problem that we have in this country, every major problem in this country can somehow be traced back to liberalism and Democrats. Everyone. And again, this is why it is not safe to vote for Democrats for any office. So what? You're not voting for a Democrat for president. Did that innocent woman get stabbed because of a Democrat president? No. Is the crime in what was a safe city not long ago, is it dangerous now because of a Democrat president? No. Democrat city council members, Democrat mayors, you know, one right after the other. Boom, boom, boom. What is there, like half of a Republican on the city council? All the rest are Democrats? You look anywhere you want to look. And if the city council and the mayor's office and the police who are in charge, the politician police, like the sheriff or whatever, if you look at any city and those are all overrun by Democrats, you know what you're going to find? A city that's not run well and is probably dangerous. And now, you know, Charlotte is no exception. So, I've got to take a break. Think on that. And we got more coming up.
The DJ Richie Show. Radio, podcasts, and cool social media content. Get all the TJ you can handle at WBT.com/TJ. Now, back to the TJ Ritchie Show on News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WBT.
Don't have time to get to one of the important stories that I had pulled. I guess we can look at it like we already got one in the can for tomorrow, Isaac. Part of the show is already planned because I got a leftover bit, as we call it. I'm not waiting till Friday either on it. I know we're supposed to wait till Friday to clean them up, but this one's that big of a deal. But I know that, what's his name? Robert Kennedy Jr. Is, you know, he's been working, trying to get, Coca-Cola. And I think they've admitted now that they'll do it, or they've, agreed to do it, where they're going to start using real sugar, you know, like, they call, you know, the Mexican Coke. Oh, you ever had a Mexican Coke? Oh, they're way better because they use real sugar. I'm like, no, I don't know about that. Now, I'm a Diet Coke person, and I always thought that it was so stupid to hear somebody say, I actually prefer the taste of Diet Coke over regular Coke. And then that was before I got to be a chunk-a-bunk. And I would go, no way. Diet drinks are not as good as the real thing. Then, here I am, a Diet Coke lover, but I haven't had one in a long time. You know, I'm actually the picture of health. I don't know. I get stopped every day, and I get asked if I'm Zac Efron. Get so sick of it. But can you turn my computer up onto the board there, Isaac, please?
Ready to go.
Because this is something that I found very interesting. Actually, my partner, Riggins, on the syndicated morning show I do, found this clip because he's always amused by things that come out of my home state of Louisiana. And this is a news clip from Abbeville, Louisiana, where a lady reporter just went. She was standing outside a convenience store, and she was just asking people as they walked up and sometimes just before they even got out of their car. There's one lady in here that's talking about she's still in her car. Their feelings about Coca-Cola. And this is what they said. I don't hear it. Did you lie to me, Isaac? Okay. All right, it's playing. Maybe I don't have the right thing plugged in. It looks like it. Oh, well.
Hold on, where does this go? I'm going to find it, though. I'm going to trace it. Is this it? This one? Oh, yeah, that's it.
Okay. I don't know where that one came from, but it looks exactly the same. All right. Now we've plugged in. Now we sound like we're about to rock.
Live radio, baby.
Yeah. All right, so here it is. What do you think of Coke in Abbeville, Louisiana?
It's like Coke.
Hold on, I started up. Here we go.
I like Coke, especially with some red beans and rice. Like Coke be so good when you get a good hot meal. Ooh, Coke be good.
It's a common reaction here in Abbeville.
I have a Coca-Cola right now.
The love for the iconic red label soda.
Oh, it's a beautiful sensation. The taste buds be having to explode with joy. Just a party going on in my mouth.
I love Coke.
What's your favorite type of Coke?
Coca-Cola Classic.
I love sugary drinks, and I'm also a diabetic, but I still love pure taste. Love it.
That's, you know, just the simple pleasures in life. I love sugary drinks, but I'm also a diabetic. And it sounds like to me he's saying having that Coke is worth it. Now, the lady with the thick Cajun accent, the Coca-Cola Classic. Coca-Cola Classic. Sound like Coach O, former head coach at LSU, who said, go Tigers.
Yeah, we had a pretty good first half. We got to get together on the second half and hopefully run the ball a little bit better. Mm-hmm. All right. All right. Go Tigers.
That's what she sounded like when she said, I got one right here. She holds up a Coke, but it's not in a can or a bottle. It's from her house, and it's in a tumbler. Now, we know as Southern peoples that it is a big thing in the South to never get in a vehicle without some sort of a drink in your hand to take with you. Now, a lot of times it's water, you know. But when I was growing up, it was iced tea in a usually a Tupperware type tumbler. Now, you notice I said iced tea. I didn't say sweet tea. You know why I don't say sweet tea? Because you're in the South, iced tea is supposed to be sweet. So you don't have to make the distinction to say sweet tea. You just say tea, and it should be understood that you're talking about sweet tea. The time that you stipulate is when you say unsweet tea. But people don't go with me on that. You know why? Because I think Southerners love to folks it up a little. They like to get a little folksy with it and call it sweet tea, and they'll stretch that out. Sweet tea. Like, was it Blake Shelton? They had that song, She's Sweeter Than Sweet Tea. Was that Blake Shelton did that? Which, by the way, in as far as writing goes, you shouldn't have the same word that close together. She's sweeter than sweet tea. You would say she's sweeter than sugar or sweeter than peaches, sweeter than cotton candy grapes, but not sweeter than sweet something. But if you're from the South, iced tea is supposed to be sweet, so there's no need to clarify that. Only make a stipulation if it's unsweet. And if you're with somebody that orders unsweet tea, then get away from them. They are dangerous. They are not your kind of people. My best friend, she's from Lincoln, Nebraska. Goes through McDonald's every day, gets a large, extra large, however the biggest size they have, of an unsweet tea. And you know what she puts in it? Nothing. Is that not deranged to just drink iced tea, plain, with no sugar, no sweetener at all? They ought to lock her up. Matter of fact, I'm going to call the police on her next time she does that. I'm going to say, she got it right now. I just saw her leaving McDonald's. I guarantee you she's got an unsweet tea that she's just drinking like brown water. That ain't American. Matter of fact, she should be deported. Strip her citizenship. All right. Thank you so much for listening tonight. Thanks for giving me a chance at this. Hopefully you liked it enough to come back again and again. Tell your friends. Mark Levin's up next. God loves you. Ain't nothing you can do about it.
It's TJ Ritchie.
Hear the TJ Ritchie Show every weeknight at 7 Eastern. Stream it live at tjritchie.com or listen later as a podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or my media center at tjritchie.com. You'll be so glad you did, hopefully. That's tjritchie.com.